All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Well, the intro is half right. Bag Milk and Tyler here. Oilers Nation Radio, episode 185. We've got Jay and Zach sitting in for Dan and Rick. We're just going to do a quick little Monday recap episode of the trade deadline. Just hit the buzzer. Tyler, yep. You just wrapped up the Daily Faceoff trade deadline show. I want to start off by saying I thought you did a wonderful job.
That's very kind.
Your hair looked great.
Hair looked very good.
It's starting to
fall now.
Yeah.
You need a hat. You got to get the Oilers Nation Tyler back.
Yep.
Pop the cap on. Today, trade deadline in the NHL. The Oilers made a couple of moves. We're going to get to them real quick, but first I got to start off by thanking our friends at Oodle Noodle for sponsoring the War Room today. It was the Oodle Noodle War Room. I am feeling a little bit sleepy because I ate my entire box. I wasn't planning on it, but I did.
I only ate about 70%, so I'll have lunch tomorrow.
Good for you.
You went double beef too.
That's a bold strategy. I respect that.
So that's like having a full box at 70%.
Fair.
Good for you, Tyler.
I can see it in your eyes.
I'm very sleepy. I had a bottle of Coke too, and it didn't perk me up the way I thought it would.
It's because you crushed 3.5 hours of live television, essentially.
We almost went four.
Yep. And then walked right out and inhaled a Tokyo double beef.
It was so good.
Before we get to the moves that the Oilers made today, how was the first Daily Faceoff trade deadline episode for you?
It was good. I thought it was obviously long, but it didn't, I was nervous that there'd be a lot of moments where I'd be sitting there being like, shit, we have nothing to talk about. And it really wasn't the case. Like McKenna, Burnside, Gear, Larkin, Pete Blackburn, all those guys were really, really good. Ryan S. Clark from The Athletic. Everyone like really brought it with their analysis, and the conversation kind of flowed the whole day. So it was a ton of fun. I'm happy with the amount of viewers we got. I'm happy with the way trades kind of broke throughout the day. It was just really solid.
Can we talk about the insider cam though with Frank? Yeah, that was best. Awesome.
Insider cam was a huge hit.
It was so good.
ISO cam was legit.
There was people like in the ads all day long that were like, this is exactly what we need from trade deadline shows.
Because so you could see really him cool calling issue. The whole day. Yeah, right?
You could see him calling. He was looking down. He was reading stuff. And everybody was always like, what's he reading? I liked it.
That's good. I think we can build off that for next year. I think we could do something like that on free agency day too. Like, I'm excited.
Your first run through, any kind of first thoughts, there's notes going into either next year or maybe even just free agency day?
No, I think right now it's still all like pretty fresh in my brain. Like, I'm not sure if I could really break down what did and didn't work.
Maybe don't go with a double beef. Maybe single beef after. Yeah,
I might be thinking in with a more clear head if I'd gone single beef.
Maybe not the two coffees right before the show starts.
I'm surprised at the, like, there was not a point where I really had to go to the washroom. There was once where we took a little break to play a pre-rolled interview, and I was like, ah, I should go now and be smart. But there was never a point where, like, producer Liam at the end was struggling. I could see he was like, wrap this shit up, your M-Chuck, because he had to go. I was never at that point.
Daily Faceoff piss jugs for the 2023 deadline.
Yeah. Diapers.
Yep.
Yep. We had a big Daily Faceoff sign on the wall.
Yep.
So I got to put some holes in the wall. That's always fun.
You got to bring that home with you?
No, because I am worried.
Is it still up?
It's still up because I think the paint is coming down if I take it off. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
let it up. Be.
There she goes.
Looking at the Edmonton Oilers, Tyler, first move we'll get to. Derek Brassard from the Philadelphia Flyers. That was a fourth round pick in 2023 going to Philly. Philly retains 50% of Brassard's salary. 34-year-old Derek Brassard, sixth overall back in 2006, I should say. Your first thoughts, Tyler, on that move?
Just your prototypical solid depth deadline ad. Like, he's not the flashiest guy. I think the upside of Brassard is greater than the upside of having a Devon Shore in your lineup. I think this gives you the flexibility to make Ryan McLeod a winger if you wanted to as well. Even if games are in Canada, I think this maybe even bumps Josh Archibald out of your lineup. I know Brassard doesn't kill penalties, but you have
says who?
Yes,
I think you have enough PK guys throughout the rest of your lineup that you could take Archibald out. You could run a fourth line that's like Brassard, McLeod, Cassian, I think.
So he's a center.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what is that? So is he our fourth C now?
Yeah.
That's the goal, and keep Nuge as 3C.
Yeah.
But he could be a 3C though if you wanted.
Probably not. Like, I think he's a fourth line guy, but I think what it does do too, is it lets you keep Derek Ryan on the wing.
Yeah, right? That too.
He's looked really good on that third line with, you know, Fogle and Nuge when they were all healthy at the same time. So I think that's probably the more important part of it. You know, Brassard's going to be an upgrade over Devon Shore in that 4C spot for sure. And it maybe slide Shore over to the wing a little bit.
The idea of Philly retaining half of his, like, pretty much already league minimum salary is also kind of funny to me.
Hey man, the cap crunch is real.
So according to our friends over at Puckpedia, the Oilers only added a net of like 600,000 to the cap today. So that's pretty, like, that's some pretty tidy work, all things considering.
Let's look at the second move. The second move, Oilers sent William Lagesson a conditional second round pick. I'll have the conditions in a second, and a 2024 seventh round pick to Montreal for Brett Kulak. The condition is the pick is a 2022 second round pick, unless it goes to Chicago in the Duncan Keith trade, then it becomes a 2023 second round pick. Montreal also retained 50% of Kulak's salary. Zach, I'll throw it over to you first. You wrote the article for ON. Your thoughts on the Kulak trade?
Yeah, I like it. I think Kulak's a guy who's going to be a great third pairing defenseman on the left side for the Oilers. And I think he's somebody who can actually probably take some minutes away from a guy like Duncan Keith, which I don't think is the worst thing in the world. You know, Kulak's a guy who's a defense first sort of defenseman, not a lot of offensive upside to his game. But, you know, for the Oilers, they're looking to shore things up on the back end there. And I think that's exactly what Kulak does. Now, the cost to acquire him, you know, you can argue about that a little bit. William Lagesson's probably a wash. A second round pick, that's a lot for a guy who's a third pairing defenseman. But when you look at some of the other deals that went on, like Ben Chiarot went for a first round pick, like that one was wild to me, you know. And then earlier in the day on Monday here, Jeremy Lazon went to Boston for a second round pick, right?
And also, like, Travis Hamonic cost a third. He sucks.
That one was wild.
Like, there was a lot of deals.
Salary retained.
That was because that dude was on waivers like a few months ago, and Ottawa, a rebuilding Senators team, was like, we want that old defenseman. That didn't make a ton of sense. Well, but like, yeah, I think the price was high on Kulak, but I agree. Like, based on what else was out there and what else was happening, I think it's a solid move. I think he and Bouchard could maybe be the Oilers' second pairing.
Yeah, I think so too.
I also think it was,
if that's the case, then it's great.
Yeah.
To me, what was interesting is, I don't know where the Willie Lags fans came out of the woodwork from, but he
Lags Nation.
He was getting a lot of love from Oilers fans today. Like, wow, you can't give up William Lagesson and a second. And I was like, really? You can't?
When was William Lagesson ever going to be a full-time NHLer here? With Broberg and Niemelainen and Samarukov still in your system.
Yeah.
Where, and Nurse and Keith signed for next year. William Legison's irrelevant. If anything, this was probably the Oilers doing him a favor because there was talk he wanted out. This was probably the Oilers being like, you know what, Will, Alan Walsh will finally be off our back. You're going to Montreal.
And I think at the end of the day, too, there was another wrinkle to this. Legison, in order for him to still be an RFA at the end of this year, he had to play 18 more games in the regular season for him to retain his RFA status with the Edmonton Oilers. Otherwise, he'd become a Group 6 UFA. So at the end of the day, the Oilers weren't planning on keeping him around. There's no way he was going to play in 18 games down the stretch.
And
now, you know, Montreal gets a shiny new toy.
Yeah, it's good for Willie. If you care about, if you really care about Willie Legs Nation, you should be happy that he got traded.
If you love like, something, let him go.
Tyler, I want your take on
maybe
it.
Maybe he'll come back fully developed.
And yeah, just let him go. He's still got room to grow at 26.
He'll come back in Norris caliber.
Tyler, you are not a William Legison fan. What do you make of the Oilers fans that are, in my opinion, overvaluing him?
The dude cleared waivers like twice. This year. Like no one in the league wanted him for, it's like people who are still like, you know, big on Benson or like when I was doing my live thing the other day, people were like, oh, are you throwing Benson with a pick? And I'm like, he just cleared waivers. That tells you everything you need right there.
Yeah.
Like teams can have these guys for free. They don't want them. That tells you everything you need to know about their value.
Looking at the two trades though, Tyler, Kulak and Brassard.
Oh, we've got a third transaction.
What's the third one?
Oh, the return of the Nuge when he's healthy?
Of course.
Huge trade line acquisition.
The return of Puljujärvi last week.
Oh, jeez. Two. Fuck.
Two impact
moves players. Are happening.
Jay, you had me going there, man.
The Oilers traded for Kulak, Brassard, Nuge, Puljujärvi, and Evander Kane.
Oh,
that's a big deadline.
That's moving. That's moving some weight.
Jay, looking at Kulak and Brassard, what do you think?
Yeah, you know what? I think Brassard brings some depth, like he he's very serviceable. So I think you can slot him in the third or fourth line. If he is our fourth line center, that's a good problem. So I think it really shores things up there and allows us to move some, you know, maybe lesser caliber people around and makes the bottom six better. And Kulak, if he's as strong, I don't know enough about him. I know Zach was praising his underlying numbers this morning, and I think that's great, but I have not seen him. So if he's defense first and he can help kind of insulate and shelter a Bouchard and actually play in the second pair, then it's a tremendous addition for us. But the big thing for me is that he's very good. If he's very good defensively, that's good because that's been a weak spot for us.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, in addition to Ryan Nugent Hopkins, will really, really shore up the center depth on the third line. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Zach?
Yeah, I mean, I like the deals. I like both of them, honestly. Yeah. You know, I was a little cool on the Kulak one at first, especially hearing it was a second, because, you know, the initial thought was when we heard it was a second, I was like, oh, well, it's coming in 2023. That's supposed to be a stacked draft. I was like, you know, you're giving up what will be a prime asset, but how it works out is it's a conditional 2022 second. So the Oilers' third round pick this year is tied up in the Duncan Keith trade. And that third round pick becomes a second this year. If the Oilers make it to the cup finals and Keith plays top four time on ice minutes in that time span, I don't think
he won't now with Kulak in the lineup.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah,
like Kulak will see to it that he doesn't.
I think that's exactly what it is. So I think the fact that it's a second this year, it makes it a little bit easier to stomach. And hey, you know what? We'll see what happens at the draft. Maybe there's a trade back or something in the first round or something like that to get some more assets.
Like the reality is this trade line, like we're not an all in team. The all in teams, like the Colorados, the Floridas,
Rangers,
like they really pushed their chips in. Like it was insane.
Yeah. Insane. Some of the price, like what the
Tampa?
Fuck Tampa. How do they keep getting away with this shit?
Pittsburgh,
but that's what creative jamming is.
It is. You go find two guys who barely make any money and you give up what it takes to get it done. Right. Yeah. There was a lot of teams in the East that really pushed their chips in. Tampa gave up so much for Lindholm. I get that they signed him. That's still an insane price to pay
Boston
at the deadline.
Gave up so much.
Sorry, Boston. Who did I say?
Tampa.
No, Boston got Lindholm. So Boston loads up. I get Toronto. At least they got Giordano and Blackwell. Like that's a solid ad, I suppose. But the rest of that division, Florida, Tampa, they all loaded up. Okay. If they all play each other, two of those teams just loaded up to get bounced in the first round.
It's crazy. Going to be an absolute bloodbath. Whoever comes out of the East is going to be so battered and tired that might give the West a chance here.
To me, it seems like this is one of the most stacked top of conferences we've seen in a long time, mm-hmm. where there's these teams at the top of the conferences that are just nuts, like Tampa, Florida, Carolina. You know, Carolina didn't really do much besides adding Max Domi, and
he's a good add, but he's a third liner.
Yeah, and they're only paying like a quarter of his salary. Yeah,
Florida was brought into the mix.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
How the hell they have all this room?
Ekblad's on LTIR.
Oh,
so that, I guess once Ekblad went on LTIR, they put out feelers around the league being like, hey, we've traded a lot of picks. We will take a pick back if you need us to hold money.
Bill Zito, man.
Creative dude.
He's a smart dude.
It's just like, when do we get to get weird like that?
Yeah, we got to get, this was not the year to get, like, I want us to get weird, but like, we're not there yet unless we got weird and got like all of those players. But for us to like, hopefully next year we can get weird, but we've never been weird either. 06, we were kind of weird.
A little bit weird. A little bit greasy. I like it. So there you go. Oodle Noodle again sponsored the War Room today. We were having a good time watching Tyler and the rest of the Daily Faceoff crew do their show. If it's Monday, you already worked enough for today. Order on DoorDash.
Mm-hmm. Ding dong.
Get some Oodle Noodle to you. Brand new location, by the way.
Today, I have to eat Tyler. More Oodle Noodle tonight?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you have to drive out to Fort Saskatchewan.
I was going to say, you have to drive out to Fort Saskatchewan and grab your Oodle Noodle at the new location, and then you go home for the Weathers game.
Okay.
Okay.
7:30 game. You got all the time in the world now. No excuses.
This is a question I have for you guys. Mm-hmm. Looking at the deals that were made today, some significant ones. Fleury ends up going for a conditional second. That was never really like a realistic target for the Oilers. Kaapo Kähkönen, Jacob Middleton, there's an interesting swap. Braun goes for a third. Lehkonen goes for a second and a higher end prospect. I'd say Barron's like a B plus level, kind of A minus in that range prospect. Looking at the deals that went down today, is there any one trade that you look at and go, huh, I wish the Oilers would have paid that price for that. Because I don't see it. Like, I love Rickard Rakell. He's mm-hmm. my boy.
Lehkonen.
A second and two prospects. Or sorry, a second, a decent roster player, another roster player, and a prospect for him. That's a lot for a pure rental. You would have done Lehkonen?
I like Lehkonen. Like, that in terms of like trying to address some areas of weakness, I think Lehkonen's a better Brassard.
I like the Letty deal a little bit.
I didn't mind it, yeah. But they gave up more than...
You already got Kulak, so you're not...
I'd rather have Kulak than Letty, too.
Would you?
Yeah.
I thought...
How old's Kulak?
28.
Okay.
I thought Cogliano to the Sharks for a fifth rounder was... I mean, that's just...
That would have been nice to bring him home.
Nice little depth move there.
I would have rather had Ryan Carpenter than Derek Brassard. And the Flames paid less for Carpenter. Because Carpenter's more of a pure PK defensive kind of specialist. I think he's a little bit better on the draws, but I might be wrong on that. Either way, they're both about 50%, so whatever. But I think Ryan Carpenter maybe would have been a better option for the Oilers, and he would have cost you around less of a pick.
What about the other move that the Oilers were tied to? Justin Braun went to New York for a third round pick.
I was never high on Braun in the first place.
I think I'm happier with a second than I am with a third for Braun. Second for Kulak, that is.
Especially the like... If the Oilers re-sign Kulak.
I wonder what that deal would even look like, but yeah.
No,
but
then all of a sudden, what's his contract? 1.5?
1.8.
1.8. Yeah. Montreal retained half, so okay, whatever. But next year, if they re-sign him, why he's local.
He's Tony Plain.
Oh, yeah. Tony Plain.
So all of a sudden, the cost of acquisition would kind of be like, if they re-sign him.
Yeah, but your left side next year is Nurse, Keith, and I'm assuming you're just leaving a spot open for Broberg or Niemelainen.
Unless Duncan Keith magically retires.
Oh, can you imagine? Keith retires, you get this $8 million extra gap of money, and you give like 2.5 or 3 to Kulak, and you're sitting there $5 million ahead of where you were before with Kulak, with Nurse, Kulak, and then either Broberg or Niemelainen. I'd like that left side.
How fun would that be?
And the extra money. You offload Barry, boom, $9.5 million in cap space. Bang, Kemper, $6 million because Smith's on LTIR.
See, boom. I worry about the way the defense could shape up looking into next year. Because all of a sudden you got the left Orium that's clogged up again. Because you got Niemelainen and you got Broberg that are literally knocking at the door for NHL minutes right now. Right? You know, Keith is...
Kulak's probably a pure rental then.
Probably. But again, it's that local boy connection that it's like, well, you know how the Oilers feel about their local boys, right?
We love to overpay them to stay. What about staying the goaltending? You said Kemper and then went boom. What about John Gibson?
Nah.
You're a Kemper over Gibson guy?
Why would Anaheim ever trade Gibson?
I think. Well, they're clearly blowing it up right now.
You know who's not a big Gibson guy? Mike McKenna.
Why?
He thinks Gibson's name keeps him in the elite conversation more than Gibson's play. And he has a whole
interesting.
He has a whole breakdown.
What's going on with his name?
Like, the idea of Gibson is better than what you'd actually get with Gibson. Like, people just assume he is still an elite goalie because of his name. And McKenna has a whole list of technical reasons why he doesn't think Gibson's game is going to stay at a high level for very long.
3.05 goals against and a 906 save percentage so far in 2021-22.
And Gibson's going to cost you money because he's like 6.4.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
in year three of that new deal.
So 6.4. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to give up multiple firsts, apparently. Probably a high-end prospect in there. Or just go give Kemper $6 million. Done.
Boom.
Boom.
Just like that?
But Kemper is a question mark.
He's having a great year in Colorado.
He's been hurt, though.
That's why you have Skinner.
I got a spicy one.
Huh?
I got a spicy one.
Go for it.
Spicy.
Jordan Binnington.
You wrote about that yesterday.
Jordan Binnington a guy who'll be good for the next 5 years, or is Jordan Binnington Matt Murray 2.0?
Well, that's the question, right? Yeah. I asked McKenna about that too, and he said he doesn't see Binnington being a fit for the Oilers, but he still says that Binnington is a guy who can be a good goaltender.
Oh, yeah, like, he sees Binnington every night.
Yeah, like, and even right now, it's not like Binnington's been terrible. Like, he's obviously struggling this year for sure, and he's not the goaltender he was in his rookie season when he came in and blew the NHL away, right? Yeah. But again, it's he's got 4 or 5 years left, $6 million. It's pricey, there's no doubt about it. But again, Binnington's $1.5 million more than Mikko Koskinen is right now.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that you're gonna get as good, if not better, results from Binnington. Because again, this is also a guy who's a fiery person too. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a guy who wears his heart on his sleeve.
You know, also a fiery person that we love, dudes. Not battling as much as he used to battle.
What do you expect from Mike Smith tonight? He's in against Colorado. Shit,
big game. It's going to be, Smitty's back.
I'll tell you what, there's one thing. You win against Buffalo, that's all well and good. But this is a different animal, the Colorado Avalanche.
Different league, really.
We get Colorado 3 times before the end of the year.
Oh, really?
Just the gauntlet has now been dropped.
I was looking at it last night. There's a guy named Damian Echeveta. Sorry, I butchered that name. But he works for the NHL, and he posts like playoff races, like a look at like the teams that you play. There's like something stupid, like 60 or 70% of the Oilers' remaining games are against playoff teams.
That's why this past like 10 days was so important. Yeah. And to win the last 3 games like they did against lesser competition was so important.
Yeah.
We tried to not win though.
Oh, a couple times.
Yeah, that was
a little greasy.
Detroit.
Yeah, that one upset me more than Jersey.
Was bad.
Quickly back to Binnington. Would you do your first this year and Barry for Binnington?
I like how you're trading to Tyson Barry to every team in the league.
And whoever will take
I do a lot of podcasts with you, and there's a lot of Tyson Barry.
Have you not noticed?
I would.
Hasn't our power play been better since he's been back?
A little bit.
Yeah, it's, I hate to admit this, but he's the Oilers' power play statistically is better with Barry than it is Bouchard. And I hate to admit it because I'm a Bouchard truther.
Yeah.
2 goals in back-to-back games for Barry.
That was a good shot. I loved that.
He needs to have family in town. His grandparents need to be in town all the time. He shows up.
Didn't he say it was his son's first ever time watching him?
Yeah, it was.
Get little Leo. Get little Leo season tickets.
Yeah,
little Leo. You can have our season tickets.
Yeah, of course. Happily give them away. What are you looking at over there, Tyler?
Seeing how much better the Oilers' power play has gotten since Barry came in the lineup. Since Barry returned from his brief injury, the Oilers' power play is 7th in the league, 28.6%. So you're right, it has gotten better.
So I see. And right now, and that's what's been letting us down and costing us games because we haven't been converting. So
yep.
Keep him for this season. I don't know.
Maybe it's Cassian instead of Barry or something. But I think you have to try and move some money back to St. Louis in some way. At first is probably a lot, especially considering, you know, the way it looks like it. Well, it looks like St. Louis wants Husso, right?
Yeah.
That seems to be the thing. And it was Frank Saravalli who put the feelers or who said that Doug Armstrong and the Blues were putting the feelers out about Binnington. So
sometimes you need some insurance, just like what you would get from our friends at Cornerstone.
That's right.
Thank you. CornerstoneINS.ca. For 4 generations and 90 years, Cornerstone Insurance has been a family and employee owned insurer here in Edmonton. They've got all the products you could ever hope for. Just visit cornerstoneins.ca. Who's your biggest losers and winners from deadline day, Tyler? If you were just to pick, I'd want to put you on the spot there.
I think my biggest loser might actually be the St. Louis Blues.
Why is that?
Actually, I'll have two candidates. St. Louis Blues, they sat there, they watched Colorado go get Lekkonen and Manson and Cogliano, two really good pieces and one depth guy. Mm-hmm. They watched Minnesota go get Marc-Andre Fleury, and St. Louis, who hopes to compete in there, all they got was Nick Leddy, who's like, you know, he's good. He's an everyday D-man. He's experienced and all that. But those other teams went and made big splashes, even go to the Pacific, right? Calgary went out and they got Toffoli and they got Yarncroc. And if you're St. Louis and you hope to compete with these teams, you kind of sat still. And it's not like they didn't try. Like, they tried to get Giroux. They tried to get Lindholm, and you missed. When you swing, you miss. That makes you a loser, in my opinion. The LA Kings not really doing anything was surprising to me.
I thought they were going to pull off Chychrun or something.
I thought they would have, one. Because again, they should be looking in the division the similar way where we all sit here and go like, hey, you know, Edmonton can beat LA. Like, it's a winnable series for LA if they go head to head. Vegas is banged up. Who knows what's going to happen there?
Mm-hmm. They might miss.
They might miss. But if I'm LA, I'd be sitting there going, Edmonton's winnable for us. If we go make a couple moves here, they have a deep prospect pool. I'm surprised they didn't make a splash or do something.
They're probably waiting for next year.
Probably.
They probably realize that it's tough to get out of the Pacific or get out of the West. Now, didn't Dallas not do much?
They got Namestnikov, Wedgwood. I think that was it. I think
that's it.
Yeah, that's.
They really didn't do
they
much.
They were quiet.
I'm going to call the Winnipeg Jets a loser. I'm just looking through the trade track.
They've written faceoff.com
because they are selling. So.
That was Frank Stanley Cup pick going into the season.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, then Frank Saravalli is my bonus loser for his Winnipeg Jets Stanley Cup prediction preseason. Zach, do you got any winners and losers from today?
I really like the Raquel move for the Penguins.
Does that hurt your feelings, Tyler?
No, it was a good move for what the Penguins were looking for, I think. Mm-hmm. And they paid a solid price for it, but I think it was a good deal.
You know, he's an impact winger who can play in the top six. He'll play with Crosby or with Malkin. I mean, it's hard to argue with that, right? I mean, Pittsburgh's looking to go for a little bit of a run. Might be their last time to tango here before they really have to
make
some tough decisions, right? I mean, losers, Winnipeg for sure. The Rangers, I really don't like the moves that the Rangers made, to be honest.
You don't like what the Rangers did?
Not really. I'm not a big cop guy.
Huh.
Not really a big mock guy either. I mean, I think it's a lot to give up for some middle six, bottom six guys.
You're an F the police guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I look at the Rangers and I'm like, you know, Vetrano's solid. Like, to me, they just built a third line. They built a third line, and I think that helps them in the playoffs. I think their forward group is deep. I think Braun is a good enough third pairing add there to sort of round things out on their blue line. He can play either side. And they got, they still have Shesterkin, and obviously he'll be able to carry them. I thought the Rangers, they added enough in my opinion, but they didn't give up a first, I don't think.
Jay, do you have any winners or losers from deadline day?
Well, the winner is obvious. Anyone who can sign Ryan Nugent-Hopkins at trade deadline.
Of course.
Are you doing this just to make me mad?
Well, it's a huge acquisition.
Yeah,
that's why we didn't make as many moves, because that was a huge acquisition for us.
Zach Hyman.
Sprinkling JP. Vander Kane.
Yeah, yeah. Zach Hyman last summer was a big deadline pickup for the Oilers.
Huge.
I can't wait till the Ken Holland presser when he tells everybody about, well, you know, I really think that Evander Kane was one of our biggest trade deadline acquisitions.
You know, it's coming up.
You know, we got him 2 months ago.
Coming up in 10 minutes. So we've got 10 minutes here to...
I will say the Oilers were a mild winner. They did what they could with what they had, and it addressed some holes. So I think that's fine. So I'll just be super positive. You guys have already mentioned all the big clubs. Losers.
Toronto's another loser for me.
You know who sunk the battleship? Yeah, Toronto's. Well, Toronto's, that's a good one. Carolina. I don't think. Yeah. Carolina didn't do enough.
It's fair.
They didn't do enough because of who they have to face.
Like, they're already a pretty deep team.
I know, but they're going to physically get run over by teams. Yeah, like, probably. Florida's going to floor them.
Good. Yeah.
So they didn't, in the arms race, they didn't get any of the big guns.
The Toronto situation is kind of interesting to me because I low key really like the Giordano move.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was fine.
Because
I think
it was great. You get him there and you get him to play with Brody, and they were great in Calgary together. Mm-hmm. Like that's really helped solidify the top four. But the whole goaltending situation is just so funny out there.
Oh,
like,
it's wild. Just
wild. Mrazek clears waivers. They sign this dude, Hari Kotkaniemi or whatever the hell his name is from the KHL. And then he gets claimed on waivers by Arizona. Like hilarious.
Well done, Arizona. Arizona's a winner for doing that, yeah, actually.
Shout out to Arizona.
That is, they did not, they're not even in the game this year, and they went and did something to piss off a big, well, I won't say rival.
Kyle Dubas was big mad about it, too. Like, he was pissed in his post-game presser.
I also the back and forth that he, or I guess in the media, between he and the GM from the Chicago Blackhawks.
Kyle Davidson.
That's fun, too.
New kid on the block.
If you, so what happened there is, about a week ago or 6 days ago, however long it was, a report was put out by Darren Dreger that it basically detailed what Chicago asked about or asked the Leafs for Fleury and Hagel. And today Dubas was asked about that. And he said, quote, "I'm disappointed that the conversation is public. I've never had that before where the specifics like that have been made public. Frankly, it's something to ask Kyle Davidson at with his, in his availability. So of course Davidson was asked and he said, "I'm aware of his comments and that's something I'll address in private with Kyle." It's a Kyle off.
Kyle versus Kyle.
Just rent a barn.
Like in the good old days.
It's been a while since a GM's challenged another to a barn fight.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
That, yeah, it was a different time, different era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the Leafs maybe could have done a little bit more, but I do agree. Like, Giordano is not the same guy he used to be, but all you need is like 2 months of Giordano maybe just digging deep and finding a little something. Spark being back.
He'll
bring
the lead. That team needs some leadership help, and he'll bring it.
They'll probably re-sign him too.
Oh yeah, he's going to be under the Spezza Simmons special.
Yeah.
Play on the third.
I like Blackwell too. It's good enough.
Yeah, he's average.
I think he's a bit of an upgrade on some of the guys they've been mixing into the fourth line. Like, I'm not a big Kyle Clifford fan, so I think Blackwell's a better option down there. But the point I was making earlier is you look at some of the prices paid. Like, if this was a year where the Oilers were going all in, Rakell would have been an obvious ad.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if this was even a great year to be going all in. I'm not sure.
Weird Lindholm deadline in general.
But Lindholm, would you have given up a first? Like, they gave up so much because they knew they were going to sign him, right? So if you're Evan and you thought you could sign him, then maybe that changes things. But like Manson maybe would have been an interesting ad.
Oh yeah, Manson, yeah.
But like him. Manson really was the only high-end D-man that like I really thought they maybe could have gotten. And up front, it's like Rakell and that's it. Like, I don't know. It just didn't feel like a great year to go all in.
No, I agree with that. And like I said, it was a weird deadline too.
Yeah.
There wasn't a ton of big names that were like truly available in a sense. Yeah. Like Giroux, he was going to Florida. Like Fleury, he was going to Minnesota. Like those were the two biggest names that were on the board, right? Yeah. And they're both aging guys, they're 36, 37, whatever, right? Like neither of them would have come to Edmonton. And like you said, Tyler, like I just don't know if the prices are right for any of these other players that were out there.
I want to add Minnesota to my list of winners. I think the Fleury deal's solid. Like it's a second. You needed a goalie. You have all that dead money coming next year. So like you needed to go for it a little this year. And I really thought it was a smart move by Guerin to not just like flip Kakken into some team for like a pick to get Middleton, who's actually a decent, like he's a really good top 6 D-man.
Yeah.
Bring in Middleton. Like you just kind of, you filled two solid areas on your team there. I was also kind of hoboing. I saw Fleury. I was like, man, Ken, bring back Dadbot. I had a little bit of like, maybe he can do it.
I would have had time for that.
Oh yeah.
Me too.
One thing I just wanted to mention, Zach, you just retweeted this. Derek Brassard said to become the 9th player in NHL history to skate at least one game for 10 franchises behind only Mike Sillinger, who has played for 12.
That's wild.
And for a third of the league.
And he's not a bad guy by all accounts. Everyone says he's a good teammate and a great player, but he's just one of those guys that gets put in that circumstance and gets moved around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like Mike Sillinger. He was a good guy. Serviceable. Moved around.
This will be his 7th team in the last 6 years.
Oh.
Oh, hang on. No, he played for 3 teams in 2018-19. That's wild.
What? So like signed, trade, 3 teams?
How about the Islanders not offloading anyone, even though they're well out of the playoffs? And then also just signing Clutterbuck and Parisi to extensions. That was weird too. Anyways, I know
that's actually loser maneuvers.
It is.
That was a weird one.
So like, are they the loser? Can we?
When you get a chance to sign Cal Clutterbuck, you got to do it.
Got
to
do, and you got to go max term.
Max term.
Well, are we going to wrap this up so we can all go listen to
it up like a delicious donair from our friends at Buster's Pizza?
Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you very much. Buster'sPizza.ca. There's a franchise near you. I promise.
I was a little vulnerable on Sunday after a unforeseen high BPP at the Oilers game, the matinee Oilers game.
Happens to bus us.
And a Buster's donair was needed to soothe my soul.
Fixed you up some?
Yeah. Veteran move right there.
Yeah, it's a veteran move. This is just a quick trade deadline recap emergency pod, Tyler. Any final thoughts?
Yes, sir. I'll give the Oilers a passing grade. I will give them a B minus for their work today.
Zach, what's your grade?
Yeah, I'll give them a B.
Yeah, I'll go B.
I'll give them a C plus. Always room to improve.
Delicious soda drink.
Last question around the horn before we shut things down. Oilers play the Colorado Avalanche tonight. Huge game. Trying to keep the winning streak alive. Score prediction, Tyler.
Oilers lose 6-3.
Oilers win 4-2.
Yeah, I think Oilers win 3-2.
Oilers win 5-4.
There you go. Spicy.
There you go. Oilers Nation Radio, episode 185. That's in the books. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.